So it is 3 p.m. on a Thursday. You've got an asset manager breathing down your neck for an HVAC recommendation by tomorrow morning.
Right. And your desk is just an absolute disaster zone of conflicting data.
Exactly. You're looking at one really polished PDF, a lump sum scribbled on letterhead,
Oh, yeah, and probably a spreadsheet full of unasked for upgrades.
and a scanned handwritten note. I mean, it's like trying to compare a Tesla to a tricycle.
Yeah.
So today we are diving into an exploration into the source material on the high stakes world of bid leveling.
Yeah, we're looking at some great industry guides today to really unpack this process.
Right. Our mission here is to move you from guessing based on a gut feeling to having a bulletproof, documented framework. Because we want to protect your budget from those hidden surprises and honestly, audit-proof your career when ownership starts asking questions.
What's fascinating here from the material is that the mess on your desk isn't actually a vendor problem, it's an industry pattern.
It's a feature, not a bug, right?
Yeah. Exactly. The lack of pricing standardization allows contractors to sort of hide their buffer room or their profit padding in different line items.
Which means if you aren't leveling these bids, you aren't just comparing prices.
No, you're unknowingly inheriting the risks that the lowest bidder just left out.
I hear you, but let's be real for a second. Translating four messy bids into a matrix is a massive time sink.
It is.
When you're staring down that Friday deadline, is the defensibility really worth 4 hours of manual data entry? Or is this just, more paperwork for the sake of paperwork?
Well, it's about risk mitigation. If a bid comes in 20% lower than the median, you haven't found a bargain.
You've found a future change order.
Or a lawsuit, yeah. The real danger is the inside-out risk, where a contractor artificially lowers their material costs to look competitive, but then they bloat the labor hours.
Ah, so without a structured comparison, you just never see where those numbers are being manipulated.
Precisely.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
But even seasoned pros fall into what I like to call the relationship trap.
Oh, the guy you've used for a decade?
Yes, you trust your roofing guy, so you skip the formal scope.
Mm-hmm.
Then you realize his pricing has drifted 30% above market because he knows you just aren't looking closely anymore.
And that right there is why the pre-bid scope is the most critical aha moment in our sources.
Because the misalignments happen when the request is vague.
Exactly. If you don't specify the exact tonnage or the brand of materials or who pays the permit fees, you leave the door wide open. You have to provide a template.
So they're forced to answer the exact same questions.
Right.
Okay, so once you have those answers, the sources say you drop them into six specific buckets: labor, materials, timeline, exclusions, warranty, and permits.
Yeah, and let's talk about the friction there. If a vendor leaves the exclusions bucket entirely empty,
Is that a win? Like they cover everything.
not at all. That is a massive red flag. An empty exclusions list usually means they just haven't thought through the site-specific challenges.
Like crane access or getting rid of the old equipment.
Right. If they didn't include disposal costs and everyone else did, they aren't cheaper. They're just unfinished.
So a 10-minute follow-up call right now saves you a five-figure change order 3 months down the line.
That is how you separate price from value. A $48,000 all-inclusive bid from a responsive vendor is going to beat a $41,000 bid that's just riddled with exclusions.
And has no labor warranty.
Exactly.
So what does this mean for the person who is currently drowning in Excel? Because spreadsheets are fine for a one-off, but what about when you're managing five capital projects at once?
It's rough.
I've seen version control completely go out the window, or one broken formula just wrecks a whole recommendation.
Well, that's the breaking point. When you hit that kind of scale, manual entry becomes a bottleneck.
It just leads to errors.
Yeah, so that's the transition point where you move to purpose-built tools like BidBuddy.
Because it automates the leveling and builds those board-ready reports.
Right, so you aren't spending Thursday night fighting with cells and columns. It turns the data into a professional narrative.
It sounds like bid leveling is honestly less about the math and more about the audit trail. You're building a defense for your future self.
Exactly. So when the project is over budget 6 months later, you can point to the matrix.
And show why the decision was made. You're being the expert in the room, not just passing along quotes.
You're providing real analysis.
I love that. Before we wrap up, I want to leave everyone with a provocative thought to mull over that builds on today's sources.
Let's hear it.
Think of the bidding process as a first date for the contract. If a vendor is vague or slow to respond to your requests for clarification, or if they just ignore your scope templates entirely right now.
That's a trailer for how they'll manage the actual construction.
Exactly. If they are a headache during the bid, they will be an absolute nightmare on the job site. So use the leveling process as a personality test for the contractor.
It tells you way more than the bottom line ever will.
Definitely. Well, thanks for joining us for this exploration into the source material. We will see you all next time.